The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. And of course, this is toward the end of the Gospels. And we see that Jesus is turning beyond the cross in his reflections, wanting to warn his dear family of his return and the necessity of having oil in the lamps. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps, and the bridegroom was delayed. They all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And when they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, dear fellow virgins, amen. Amen. Today is a very interesting day. It's a day for us to start to begin now, and we'll do this for a few weeks. We're going to begin to think about the statement we say over and over and over again, and he will come to judge the foolish and the wise virgins, huh? It's pretty powerful to think about what is going on here. Jesus wants his people to understand without any doubt what's going to unfold. While the world goes on its own merry way, not having a thought about anything about the end, whether it's their own the end or the end of human life as we know it, the Christian church for centuries now has been heeding the words of Jesus, taking to heart the good news of the resurrection and all that that unfolds and is about, looking forward to it, saying, "Lord, come quickly." Now, it was Arnold Schwarzenegger in the epic Terminator sci-fi talking about artificial intelligence that made the phrase "I'll be back" famous, but it's been around a whole lot longer, and the Lord coming back certainly will be awe-filled and awful. And there have been different ways over the years for Judgment Day to be depicted, but for us as believers, we understand that it's no monkey business. It's the truth. And it's something that we have to take seriously, because the Lord would have us take this seriously for all kinds of reasons. For all kinds of reasons. But let's get to you. Are you ready? If all of a sudden, right now, the sky would roll back like a scroll and Jesus says, "Peekaboo, I see you." Are you ready? Are you ready? Right now. Are you ready? Some say, "Well, you know, I'd like to see my grandkids." You're not ready then. Others, "Well, I've got to do a little bit more work on this and this for my life." Uh-oh, you're not ready either. If something has to be done and you're missing on something, Time out. Let's talk. You are ready. Trusting in Jesus. Trusting in what he has done. If you think you've got to be ready, trusting in what you've clicked off and what you've done, you're not ever going to be ready. You're not going to ever do enough. You're not going to ever have it all figured out. But if you trust in what Christ has done, well, how does the title to our sermon go? You're prepared for anything in Christ, trusting in him. Whether he shows up today or shows up in 20 years or shows up 4 or 5 generations down the road from here, you and I are prepared. We are prepared. And this change of season in the liturgical church year just wants us to take that to heart. This isn't just a fire drill. This is not a game. This is not a play. This is not some kind of abstract theological truth that we end up putting in our mind and then forget about it. This is something that God wants us to take to heart. You do not know the day nor the hour. And it could be within this hour. But it's more than just being prepared. Oh my goodness, the Lord's coming back. It's being prepared. Can't wait to see him. Kind of waiting for him. Can't wait for him to come back to take me to the shores of forever where I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne. Rock of ages kind of thing left for me. To think about riding horses up in the high country in the morning and racing 69 Z28 Camaros in the afternoon, that sounds pretty good to me. But if heaven isn't that, I won't care. It'll be so much more. And the Lord would have us look forward to that. Not shaken in our boots fear, but in faith that says, Lord, you have the best in store for us. And we can't wait for that to happen, though we're going to have to wait for that to happen. But we're waiting with hope and expectation. Because we've already faced Judgment Day. Keep in mind, for those of you who were converted when you were older, and frankly, when those of you were converted when you were younger and had a conscience, you know why you have a conscience? You know why that you were converted when you were older? Because you faced Judgment Day. You couldn't squirm out of justifying, excusing, and defending your behavior anymore. At that moment when you realize, my goodness, I'm a wretched sinner, chief of sinners, your life was changed. You faced Judgment Day, and you also found out what the verdict was. In Christ, forgiven. In Christ, it is finished, tetelestai, paid in full. Your debt is canceled. And in the strength of what Christ has done for you and me, we're ready. We're ready. And the oil, our faith, keeps us going. Sometimes we feel like a dimly burning wick. Amen. Sometimes we're aflame with passion for Jesus. Amen. But no matter what, before he comes to judge the living and the dead, he comes to you and to me today to feed us again with his word so that we can revive, so that we can be filled with life and light. He gives us his body and blood in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. He comes to us today with grace so that we can be prepared for all things, whatever we're going through. And your life and my life isn't an easy ride. There are challenges that God would have us face in faith and not fear. In faith and not anger. In faith and not worry. In faith and not, that's the way the cookie crumbles. God wants us to have a confidence, and it's in him. To be sure, your life and my life gets jumbled about, like we sang in Amazing Grace through many dangers, toils, and snares. Yeah, those too, those can be pretty challenging. We think about those things. But God would have us face those things in faith. Through many dangers, toils, and snares. Conflict within, conflict without, just as I am. God would have us face those things in faith. And Jesus wants to ensure that, and so he comes to us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, dear virgins, virgins, fellow virgins. Gosh, I can hardly say the words together. Receive again today afresh what Christ comes to give to you. Receive in faith, freely, freely. So that, gosh, there's all kinds of different nouns in this reading. It's very interesting. Receive and be full in what Christ offers freely, without cost, without charge to you. Trust in him. Apply that trust across all of who and what you are. And then realize this isn't just about you. This is about you and me helping others to get ready. Not in and of ourselves, but pointing them to Christ. You see, not only are we the virgins in this, but check this out, we're the dealers, except for not getting paid. We don't have to charge people for telling them about Jesus. We can simply tell them so that they have the oil, so that their lives, their lanterns, can burn brightly for the Lord. I mean, think about it. There are people right now who are being swept to forever and have no knowledge of God. They've lived in this life, in the darkness and in the power of the devil, and they are lost. And we have the opportunity as God's virgins with oil to share what God has done for others, that they may know, that they may have hope, that when they go through losses of various kind, they don't grieve without hope. They grieve with hope. They acknowledge their struggles with hope, knowing what Christ has done. That's what it's about. And then they join us in being a watch party. I mean, think about it. How many different kinds of watch parties are there now? Well, this one is worth being a part of. I know it gets to be a little frustrating, you know, because there's no time counting down to this one. Jesus says, watch, you don't know when I'll be back. But we do know that it'll be the best when he comes. And for us, it'll be the beginning of forever. But we can watch with hope. We can watch knowing that there are others with us doing so. And what's really cool about this one is, whoops, I guess I advanced the slides. For this one, thanks. Thanks, Dan. You don't have to pack for this one. I mean, think about it. We'll be with the Lord. We'll be in a new heavens and a new earth. And whatever will be there will be the best for us. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder what we'll be making with God in heaven. Who knows? But it'll be the best. And the Lord today wants us to be ready. He's excited about coming back. He's done everything for us to be prepared. And as we wait, there are things that we can do, things that we can be about, where we invest our faith, hope, and love, where we learn what it means to care for the people around us, not in fear or guilt or shame, but in hope and joy and courage with humility, knowing that we were once the foolish ones and now are the ones who believe. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.